this morning, and we've got Sam, Melissa, and Frank both are out sick. Logan Shepherd, the baby's sick, so Brother Jimmy's out. He's been sick this week, so be in prayer for all of them and all the others that couldn't make it today. Tomorrow night at 6 o'clock, we've got a deacon's meeting. And Tuesday morning at 11 o'clock, got the prayer meeting. And then service Wednesday night. If you're here for the first time, there's a brochure in the cutoff here in the back. Fill it out and put it in the out in the box there in the foyer. And either if you want the pastor or one of the deacons to get back with you, be glad to. And just like to thank the Lord for another opportunity to be in his house this morning. Good to see Brother Danny back. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you, dear God, for another Lord's Day that you've given into us, Lord. Thank you, dear God, that you've given us a place to come and worship you. Sunday school on Sunday morning, Lord, to come to learn more about you. We just thank you, dear God, for each and everything that you do for us. And Lord, we're just sinners saved by grace, and we just thank you that you sent your Son, Lord, to die on Calvary's cross for our sins, that we too may have eternal life with him. But Lord, just because we call ourselves Christians don't mean we're sinless. We're still going to sin every day, Lord, but we have an advocate that we can come to, Lord, and repent and ask forgiveness, and Lord, you say that you'll forgive us when we ask, and we just thank you for that. I just pray, dear God, that you'd be in this service today. Lord, we just welcome your Holy Spirit in a mighty way, and I just pray, dear God, that you'd uplift Brian when he comes to preach your message that you put on his heart today. Again, be with all those, Lord, that are sick, and I just pray, dear God, that you'd touch their body as only you can. Lord, go lead, guide, and direct us, and we'll be pleasing to you. And Lord, forgive us of our failures. For it's these things we ask in your precious holy name. Amen.
Before we get to singing, Brother John, Brother Cody, would y'all mind handing out some study guides for me this morning?
Good morning, church. A little dreary outside, but it's nice in here because we've got the Lord in here. Amen. Or at least let's invite him to come in here and praise him. And one of the reasons, or not one of the reasons, but one of the ways we do praise him is by singing. So let's all stand and sing number 469, Revive Us Again.
Praise to the Lamb that was slain, who hath
Couple more pages to 484. Go to higher ground.
Stable land, a higher plane than I have found.
sir.
Good to see all of you today. Again, we will be in the book of Genesis, chapter 22. It's going to be a very familiar passage of Scripture. And I want to say thank you to everyone that filled in for me last week. There is all kind of creepy crawlies going around right now, and some of them are defined, some of them are undefined, but we just don't want any more of them around our house, and I'd say you the same. But it is good to be here today, and I'm so thankful that no matter what the sky looks like on the outside, God is still in control. Amen. Sometimes it's like that in our lives. This morning at 7:30, it looked like it was almost midnight outside. It was just so dark. But even in the darkness, God is in control, and His light still shines in our lives. And in case you haven't been reminded of it in a few days or thought about it, there is no one that loves you like Jesus. Even in 2023, the love of Jesus for you has not changed. He loves you as much today as He loved you when He created you, as much as He loved you when He died on the cross for you, as much as He loved you when He rose up on the third day, and as much as He'll love us when He calls us home to an eternity. Isn't that awesome today that His love does not change? Also, we want to remind you of Children's Church. If you want to be a part of Children's Church this morning, Brother Otis is, and Sister Sherry is ready to receive you. Amen. Do we have any words of praise or testimony this morning before we go any further? Amen. Amen. Anyone else? Amen. Amen. Yeah. We don't have to eat the oyster crackers with our chili anymore. We can have saltines. No, we had chili last week, and it was good to have saltines with them. Anyone else? Word of praise or testimony? Amen. Amen. And we do want to pray for those that's in the midst of it right now. My go-around this time seemed a little worse than the first go-around for me. So I guess it just depends on what lick you're ready to receive. But Genesis chapter 22, anyone else got a word of praise or testimony this morning? Amen. Amen. And we're thankful for him and being with us. And we're thankful to everyone that serves a role here at Thomas Village and the ministry that is ongoing here, from the decorations to the choir music to our children's, our youth ministries, all that goes on. It can't happen without submission to Christ and being obedient to what He'd have us to do. This morning, if I had a title, anyone else? Don't want to cut you off. Do we have any other words of praise or testimony today? You're a good-looking congregation today. Thankful to be here with you. If I had a title for this morning's message, it would be 2023, A Year for True Worship. 2023, A Year for True Worship. If I would have been here last week, it would probably been the same message, but from a different text. So it's funny how God changes it. But I'm going to ask you, if you would, to stand with me this morning as we look in Genesis chapter 22, if you're able. If you're not able, we understand, as does the Lord. But we do it in reverence to His unchanging, infallible Word. And we'll be reading the beginning of verse 1 of Genesis chapter 22. And it came to pass, after these things, that God did tempt Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up, and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes, and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and said, My father. And Abraham said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, "My son, God will provide for himself a lamb for a burnt offering." So they went, both of them, together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here am I." And he said, "Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me." And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, "In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen." And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, "By myself I have sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice." So Abraham returned unto his young men, and they rose up and went to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. You may be seated. 2023, the year of true worship. Let's go, or the year for true worship. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, in Jesus' name, God, I thank you for this day, and I thank you for the forgiveness of sin. And I ask you to forgive me of my sins and my failures, and I'm thankful for Jesus as we look at the foreshadowing of Christ, as we look at Isaac and how we read that the father laid the wood upon his back for his own sacrifice. Lord, I thank you for Jesus, and I thank you, and I plead his blood today, and I pray, God, that you just take your word and that you stir within us a spirit of worship. Heavenly Father, Lord, that you teach us what it means to worship you in spirit and in truth. And God, I pray for those that couldn't be with us today. Lord, there are many that are sick, and we're thankful, Lord, that you are the healer and the great physician. And God, I praise you today, Lord, that there's prayer requests that we would not even mention vocally today. But Lord, you have knowledge of those needs, and you're able to meet those needs. And so, Lord, I pray and invite you into this place today. And Lord, let us for the few minutes just be focused on whatever you would have us to hear and to receive. And let us leave here closer to you. And if there be one here today or listening that does not know Jesus, Lord, that today will be the day of salvation. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Now, this passage of Scripture is one that if you've been in church very long, especially if you went to church from a child, you've heard this many times in Sunday school. This is a beautiful picture of the promise of the Lamb of God, which takes away the sins of the world. We see that in Isaac, there was the promise that God had given to Abraham, how that through him he would not only bless all of the world, all of humanity, but that he would raise up a great nation through him. But we see that there is a trying of faith that happens here. That God says the very thing that you love the most, the very thing that you value the most in your life, I'm going to ask you, are you willing to give it up? Are you willing to separate yourself from that? And we see that Abraham in faithfulness goes and he's willing to. And then praise God in that the angel of the Lord reaches out and speaks to Abraham. And we see that God provides the ram. We see again the prophecy yet to be fulfilled, the promise of the Lamb of God. And then we see the reaffirming of God's blessing upon Abraham because his faithfulness. But one of the things that I want you to look at is there in verse 5 of chapter 22. This is the first time in all of Scripture, in the English translation, that we read about the word worship. The word worship. And from Genesis 22 verse 5 all the way through the Old Testament and the heart of not only the Old Testament and the New Testament up to Revelation chapter 22 where we read Revelation chapter 22 verse 9 where he says, "But he said to me, don't do that, for I'm a fellow slave with you, that your brothers, the prophets who and those who kept the words of the Lord of this book, and they worship God. And that is the angel of God that gave the prophecy of the book of Revelation to John. We see the theme of worship all the way through the Bible. Worship is a part, as we look at Scripture, it's what people do, the people of God, when they are filled with joy, when they're filled with happiness. The Bible says that they come to Him in worship, like in Luke chapter 24, beginning in verse 52, it says, "And after worshiping Him, they returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they were continually in the temple complex praising God." Worship also is revealed that it's not only in the lives of believers when they're filled with joy and happiness, but worship is to be a part of the life of the believer when there is heartbreak, downtrodden, and brokenness in their life. This is clearly seen in the life of Job when he loses all that he loves and values. His daughters, his sons, his farms, his lands, his crops, all of that is taken from him. And in Job chapter 1, beginning in verse 20, it says, "And then Job stood up. He tore his robe, he shaved his head, and he fell to the ground." And he didn't complain, but the Bible says that he worshiped the Lord there. In his broken spirit and not knowing really what to do in that moment, as many of us have been at loss in our lives, where we have no control over the situation, the man of God chose to worship. In Scripture, time and time again, the men and women of God consistently are presented as committed to worshiping the Lord, whether it be good times or bad times. Worship is not only consistent in the lives of the men and women of the Bible, but worship is a dominant overall theme in the letter that God has given to each one of us who profess to Him as our Lord and Savior and our soon coming Redeemer. But what is worship? The word worship is used 192 times in the King James Version and 182 different Scripture passages. In the Old Testament, the term worship is used 113 times. In the New Testament, the term worship is used 79 times. But what is worship? I mean, today you can get many different definitions or ideas of what it is. Many churches you'll see today that they get out the old song books, some without even music, the old shape note type singing. And man, you'll feel the chills run up your back as they sing it. But then you can watch some on TV where they've got the purple lights and the fog and all that, and you can feel the same emotional vibration as you would in that. And so I looked up the word worship and I gave it there to you on a few definitions of what the word worship is. The Merriam-Webster today says that it is reference offered to a divine being or supernatural power, an act of expressing such reverence. Then we go back all the way back to the 1828 Webster's definition of it. The act of paying honor to the excellent character and divine honor of the holy and supreme being. Then there's the the Dictionary of Biblical Languages, and it gives us the word used in the Hebrew in Genesis chapter 22 verse 5. I think it's shahah. That's as close as I can get to saying it. But notice what it says: to bow down, to prostrate oneself, to take a stance of bowing low in an act of respect and honor, to make low a stance as a sign of honor, worship and homage to the deity with an associative meaning of allegiance to that deity. Basically, you know, when we bow down in prayer and we kneel down in prayer, the idea is that we are physically making ourselves lower so that we are presenting Himself as higher. Have you ever seen a dominant animal go up to next to a submissive animal? And especially as a dog, what will happen? The submissive will go to the dominant dog or the alpha dog, and it will fall down and roll over on its back in the act of showing reverence and confessing, "You're better than I am. You're more awesome than I am. You're more powerful than I am." And then there's over there in the book of John, chapter 4, in the book, the Dictionary of Biblical Languages. This is where I would have preached out of had it been last Sunday. Because in this is what we see is, remember when Jesus meets with the... Well, let me just read it for you, okay? Because the Word of God says it better than I can. Listen, this is when the woman is at the well, remember? And she's had so many husbands, and the one she lives with now is not her husband. And listen, the woman said, this is in John chapter 4, beginning in verse 19. The woman said unto him, "Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem, the place where men ought to is the place where men ought to worship." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither worship in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem. Worship shall you worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know," meaning the Jews, "know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh," and listen, "but the hour is coming and is now, when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeks such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth." Do you hear that? That it says that the time is now where God is seeking for people who worship Him in authentic praise and value. That's what He does. Can I ask you this today, just about the songs? Because when we talk about worship, our mind immediately goes to songs and praise. Why did you sing the songs that you sang today, other than that's what Ken said, turn to this page and look at this page? Did you sing it because you meant it? Did you sing it because you wanted God to be glorified in it? Did you want heaven to ring out with your voice telling how much He means to you, how good He's been to you, and how much value He has in your life? Or do we sing them sometimes because we want a little bit of a tingle up our backbone? Huh? Do we sing it because we want to feel better when we leave here than we did when we walked into here? You see, worship is not about the worshiper. Worship is about the one who is to be worshiped. Worship is when the believer focuses all our attention, all our admiration, all our respect, all of our heart and all of our being and all that we are, that we focus it on the Supreme Creator. And when we focus all that we are on Him, we give back just the tiniest bit that we can for as much as He's given back to us. You see, worship, one of the problems, and we'll bring this up a few times today, but see, the problem has become that worship is no longer about the Creator, it's about the ones who are worshiping. That we want to get something out of it. And I'm going to tell you this, that can be whether we sing "I Can Only Imagine" or whether we're singing "I Saw the Light." You understand what I'm saying? We're to worship with all that we are and everything that we have to focus on Him. Who do we worship today? Who is it that we worship? In 1 Chronicles chapter 6, we worship the only one that is worthy to be worshipped. Amen? There's only one being. There's only one that is worshipped to be praised and lifted up. And that is in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, in verse 25, it says, "For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is also to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the peoples are idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before Him. Strength and gladness are in His place." You know who we worship? The one who created us. The one who not only said, "I'm going to make these," and after He had made everything else, and He had set up the scene perfectly for us, then He said, in the book of Genesis chapter 1 verse 27, it says, "So God created man in His own image, and in the image of God He created him, and made them male and female He created them." But then He didn't just make us in His image. He didn't just make us robots or anything like that. But listen, in Genesis chapter 2, it says that He breathed part of Himself in us. Genesis 2 verse 7, "And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being." And what we need to understand in that is that every person, every human being that's ever will be born or has been born or is yet to be born, we will live from that point on eternally somewhere, either in heaven above or in the pits of the lake of fire. That's how much God loved us. Who do we love? Who do we worship today? The one who is worthy to be worshipped. The one who is worthy to be praised. The one who made us in His very image. created us to look like Him. But He's also the one. Now think about this. Anything that is good in our life is because of Him. And I know all of us could list the things that are terrible in our lives right now. But you know what? We're blessed that not everything is terrible in our lives. We're blessed to have those days of sunlight. We're blessed to have those feelings of joy. We're blessed to have those times when we can smile. Because you know the Bible says that the days of man are short and full of trouble. But you see, that's what separates a believer from a non-believer. Is that in the midst of the hardships, we can recognize that He is worthy of worship, that He is worthy of praise, and that there is reason to lift Him up above all the things else in our lives. James chapter 1 verse 17 says, "Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren, for every good and perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning." So what do? We worship. We focus all our attention, all our admiration, all our respect, all of our love, we focus it on the one and only one who is worthy of it, who is deserving of it. Now, there's much in this world that desires for us to worship it, namely our own selves. But there's only one in this world that is worthy of it. And so, as we think about worship, the act of putting our whole attention and admiration and respect on the Creator, that's who we worship. But why do we worship Him? Why should we worship God? Because as human beings, we must recognize that the supreme being, the Creator, you know what He created us for? To worship Him. That's what we were created to do. To worship Him. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 28 and following, it says, "Give to the Lord, O families of the people. Give to the Lord glory and strength. Give to the Lord the glory due to His name. Bring an offering and come before Him. O worship the Lord in the beauty of His holiness. Tremble before Him. All the earth, the world, is also firmly established, and it shall not be moved." You hear what He's saying? This is why He created us, so that we could magnify Him, that we could recognize how supreme He is above all the beautiful things that He's made, above all the great gifts that He has given us. You see, what's happened is many of us, even as genuine believers, we get caught up in the gifts more than we do the giver. And you know what? Without the giver, the gifts mean nothing. We worship Him because He's serious about us worshiping Him. Not only did He create us to worship, but think about the Ten Commandments, okay? Exodus chapter 20, verse 3, He says, "You shall have no other gods before Me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or in the earth beneath, or that is in the water underneath the earth." Listen. Exodus 20 verse 5, "You shall not bow down to them nor serve them." Remember what part of worship is? It's the act of exalting Him, focusing on Him, coming beneath Him, and lifting Him up. He says, "Hey, not only do I not want you to make them, I don't even want you to think about bowing down to them." We worship Him because He is the one to be worshipped. And the reason we worship Him is because we were created to worship Him. Even in the New Testament, we see that not only as individuals is our job to worship Him, but you know the job of the church is to worship Him in the midst of an ungodly, fallen generation. We're to make much of Him. We're to declare Him above everything, above anything and all things that this world has to offer. John chapter 4 verse 23, like I read, "But the hour is coming and is now when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth." And you know, remember what he said? She said, well, my people say we're to worship here. And then he says, well, at least we know what we worship, but guess what? It ain't no big deal where you worship. It ain't the type of music you worship with. It ain't the type of building that you worship Him with. It's how you worship Him. It's the heart you worship Him. That's what God is looking for today. You know what? He's not looking for you to give the biggest check in the offering plate. Now, if he's giving you the money and that's part of the worship, then you best do it. But that's not what he's looking for. He's looking for those that will focus everything, their love, their adoration, their heart, their mind, everything that they have, that they'll focus on Him. And with a pure heart, they'll raise their hands and say, "Blessed be the name of the Lord." Or maybe in a still, quiet voice with their head down low, and just in their heart they'll speak, "There is no God like my God." But are we those people today? Are we being those that He's looking for? Listen, again, the church, our purpose is to be the true worshipers of God. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. "But you also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Christ Jesus." We are to worship God because, one, He's created us to worship Him. Two, He's the only one worthy of being worshipped. And three, there is no greater thing that we can engage in than worshiping our Creator. You know that? No greater thing. Think about this. There are angels in heaven right now. Right now. The Bible tells us this. That continually around the throne, what are they saying? "Holy, holy, holy." They never shut up. They never stop. So those of you that say, "Well, that's just a 24/7 repeating all the..." I'm not saying you're wrong in that, but the Bible teaches us that around the throne, they continue to sing, "Holy, holy, holy, holy." And you know the thing about that? They don't know the pardon of sin. They don't know what it means to be loved by the Creator. They don't know what it means to have the blood of Jesus applied to their life. And the guilt that we once knew is no longer on our account. They don't know that. You've heard the old saying that we can sing songs that angels cannot sing. Yes, we can. And that's what we've been created for. But again, see, the problem with the thought of worship today is that we've made it about us. We've made it about us. Now, I'm going to tell you this. If we can get down to some real worship, we'll leave feeling better than we come in. But we've made it about an emotional response. And again, it can be modern contemporary or it can be Amazing Grace, whatever it is. But when we make it about us, and we make it and not make it about Him, then we've missed the whole thing. Then we've missed the whole thing, and we might as well be singing, "There's a tear in my beer." Why? You say, "Brian, because we've made it about us, right?" But today I want to, and you know what? I'm the biggest failure at worship. I am, because you know what? I like to feel the goosebumps run up my neck. I like the emotional response, you know what I mean? I like it when my body says, "Get up, throw your hands up, and just shout a little bit." But it's not all about that. And today I want us to look at five quick things. And you say, "Oh goodness, he is back." I want us to look at five quick things that if we will apply this to our worship life, to our praise life, whatever it be, whether it be in prayer, whether it be in giving, whether it be in our gifts or our singing, because that's where our mind immediately goes, that if we'll make sure these things are involved, then I guarantee you that 2023 will be the most genuine year of worship that we've ever had. And the first thing is this: our worship must be in submission to God. Our worship must be in submission to God. Look there in verses 2 and following of Genesis 22. "And the Lord said, Take now thy son, thine only son, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell you. And Abraham rose up, and for a burnt rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men, and Isaac with his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up, and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes, and he saw the place afar off." If you remember, we went through some of the definitions of the word worship. And you remember, I read from John chapter 4, verse 21, where Jesus said unto her, John 4, 21, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father." And that's the P word, prokineo, I believe is how you'd say it. But notice what it means. It means to worship, to bow down as an act of allegiance or regard, prostrate before oneself, before, or to kneel down before as an act of reverence. Now, and then you see that the illustration was to kiss. To kiss. Now let your mind go back to the Middle Ages. And when you had royalty, kings and lords and ladies and all this stuff. And then you had the plebs. You know, the nobodies, the goobers is what we would call them where I'm from. Old dirty hands, dirty feet. Didn't own their own land. But about once a year or every now and then, you know what they would have to do? They would have to, whether the Lord would report to their area or they would have to go to the Lord's house, they would have to go into a specific room. And the Lord, He'd be sitting there in His lordship chair. Amy's got one, the Queen's chair at our house. Nobody's allowed to sit in that one unless they are approved of by the Queen. That's just the way it goes. But they would go in there and then the Lord or the lady or the king would be sitting there. And let's say that Ken is the king today and he'd go there. I would have to show my reverence and my loyalty, my fidelity to the king. And I would go in there and whether he'd have a ring on his hand or anything like that, I would have to go in there. Like it or not, I'd have to go in there and I'd have to kiss him on the hand. And if I put my hand in the way then, they would probably took my head off during then. But what that was, you see, that not only was it a physical submission to the authority of the king, but it was a declaration that I submit to your authority. You're king and I am not. You have the control, I not only do I submit to it, but I'm behind it. I'm for it. I stand with it. Another picture is this. How many of you have ever had a good dog? And when you get home, you get to that dog, and when they come up to you and they nudge your hand with their nose, and then they'll just lick all over that hand. You know what they're saying? I'm glad you're home. You're the master, I'm not. I'm for you and I'm thankful for all that you've given to me. And folks, that's what we have to have. If we're going to worship God, we can't just give lip service and say, "You're God, I'm not." There has to be an expression of submission in our life. And the Bible teaches us that the expression of that submission to God is by obedience. It's by obedience. We studied out of 1 John this morning. In 1 John in Sunday school, 1 John chapter 5, verse 2, it says, "By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not burdensome." You see, this year, if we want to really engage in some worship where God is the central theme of whatever we're doing, whatever the call is, whether it's singing, dancing, whatever you want. I don't know we're Baptists, but yeah, I throw dancing in there. Whatever we do, does our lifestyle say that we're living in submission to Him? Does our lifestyle declare that He is God and we are not? And that we've chosen to do it His way instead of our way? No, we're not going to do it perfect. That's what's awesome about John chapter 2, where 1 John chapter 2, where he says that, but when we sin, we have an advocate. But today, do we want to really worship God? Are we willing to submit? Are you living your life for His glory? Because see, that's a part of worship. When you're doing that, you're actively engaged in worship. You recognize what I'm saying? You're not just saying that this is a time of worship, but you're saying, my life is a life of worship. I want to submit to Him. So, if we really want to see 2023 be a year of authentic and true worship, let's make Jesus number one by submitting to Him in what we do and how we live. What does that mean? Does that mean maybe God's calling you to become a member of Thomas Village? Maybe God's saying that it's time for you to step up and teach a class or start coming to prayer meeting or be involved in men's group. Maybe God's saying just keep on doing what you're doing. Because you know, sometimes we get weary in well-doing. And we can say, well, I want to do it my way for a little while instead. I'll come back in a little bit. But see, if we want to see true worship, if we want to experience true worship, then we've got to engage submissively. we've got to engage submissively. Number two, if we're going to engage in true worship, then our worship has to be separated. Our worship must be separated. Look there in verses 5 and 6 of Genesis 22. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with this ass, and the lad will go up yonder and worship and will come again to you. Notice what he said. Now, Abraham could have chosen to take the two men up there with him. You know what I mean? He could have said, come on, boys. And he could have said, when he got up there, you know what he had to do? He said, okay, buddy, I need you to do this, and then I need you to do this. And then when it was time to do something else, he'd say, okay, y'all sleep over here, and then we got enough food for everybody. You see what he would get caught up in all that was around him and all that was going on. And there is so much today that want to draw our attention away from God. You know that? This world, our flesh, society, none of it wants us to put God separate in our life. That He is above and superior to everything in our life. Everything in our life is trying to distract us from Him being separated, Lord above, high and lifted up. I know a while ago some people might have found it a little bad when I made the illustration like us like a dog and Him like a master, but that's the way it is. You understand that, right? Because we ain't even nowhere near in His field, you know? It's like elephant and ant, man. I mean, that's how awesome God is. And that we need to lift Him up, and we've got to separate Him away from other things in our life. You see, remember, worship is when the believer focuses all our attention, admiration, respect, and love on the supreme giver of life, love, and all the goodness that is. It's when we decide that we're going to give to Him and to Him alone the tiniest bit that we can give back to Him. See, Abraham said, nope, this is just going to be about me and the Lord. I'm not taking other people with me. I'm taking what He's asked for me to take with me, and that's what I'm bringing. You see, and I know, I've got to a point I don't even make New Year's resolutions anymore. I don't even do it. But when's the last time that we just said, God, I'm going to make this about You. The next few minutes in my life are going to be about nothing but You. Nothing but You. I'm going to do my best not to think about this problem. I'm going to do my best not to think about that situation. I'm going to do my best not to think about this bill. All I'm going to do is consider how awesome You are. Man, that right there gets me excited on the inside just to think about doing that. But see, what happens is when we get away from the thought of making Him sinner, then everything else is who's sinner. And then we just get, okay, Lord Jesus, I love You, I praise You, I thank You for this. And I think we do it genuinely, but we don't put Him apart. We don't separate ourselves to Him alone. Do you know that's what sanctified is? Set apart. And the Bible says that He's already set us apart for Him and Him alone. Think about how awesome that is. He's so jealous of you. When He saved you, He says, you're mine and you're only mine. Nothing else's. And that's what He wants us to do to Him. For the next few minutes, you're mine and you're only mine. And I'm yours and only yours. And I'm going to do my best to love you. And I'm going to do my best to tell you how awesome you are. And I'm going to do my best to tell you how grateful you are in my life. How grateful I am you're in my life. And that without you, my life is worthless. Separating. You see, if we want to have true worship, then we've got to worship in submission. We've got to worship in separation. But then the next thing is that we've got to be willing to include our personal sacrifice. Our personal sacrifice. I'm not going to read it. You know the story here. But what did God ask Abraham to give Him during this time of worship? And Abraham defined it. He didn't say this is just a time of sacrifice, did he? He said, no, we're going up to worship. That's what he said. So we're going up to worship. But God didn't say, hey, give me old 78 Ford that runs half the time. Why don't you just bring it up here and set a match to it? No. He said, give me that which you value the most. That which means the most to you. Think about when Jesus said, or when God said, I demand a sacrifice for the salvation of man. He didn't say, give me a half best. He gave John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have ever. He gave His very best. And we sometimes forget about Romans chapter 12, verse 1, where Paul says, I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present what? Your bodies as a living sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. You know, sometimes God may not ask you for the most valuable thing in your life. He may not. He's a good God like that, you know. He knows where we're weak. But here's what we've done in our modern society. We have church time, family time, work time, entertainment time, right? We have our, this is the way I was raised, your work clothes, your school clothes, your church clothes, and there the twain shall meet. If you did, you got a spanking around our house. Could it be that one reason that we're not experiencing and engaging into true worship today is because we've told God the same thing? Lord, you can have this area in my life. All this is yours. You can do whatever we want. Sundays is yours. I'll be there. But now, Saturday through whatever the other day would be, Monday through Saturday, how about that? That's work time, personal time, entertainment time. What would happen in our worship experience if we said, God, have it all? It's all yours. If you want me just to say, praise the Lord in the midst of the get it market, I'll do it. If you want me to start singing in the shower or get up in the middle of church and come down to the altar, Lord, I'll do it. Because, see, even in our worship, sometimes we set parameters, right? Some in here today, you might get that emotional tingly sometimes, but you're like, I ain't lifting my hands. I ain't never lifted my hand in a church service, and I ain't going to do it. You see what I'm saying? When it's about God, when it's about Him, then we're not going to set the limitations on it. When it's about us, yeah, we'll say, it has to fit in this. It has to be done this way. But we've got to be willing to sacrifice. Are we willing to sacrifice so that He could be worshipped the way He deserves to be worshipped? You see, if we're going to have the worship experience in 2023 like we've never had before in our Christian walk, we've got to worship in submission. We've got to worship in separation. We've got to be willing to worship in sacrifice. But then we've also got to worship with a settled heart. We've got to worship with a settled heart. Look there, in verse 12 it says, and the angel of the Lord said, lay not thine hand upon that lad, neither do anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou holds nothing back, not even your own son. Do you imagine? I don't think we can. When Abraham reached out for the blade, lifted the blade up, and was at that point to where the pivot was going to change. It was going back and now it's going up. Can you imagine what was in his heart? Do you think he felt like driving that into his heart? Do you think that Job felt like saying, blessed be the name of the Lord, when he just found out about his children being dead? Do you think he felt like saying, God, you're awesome and everything you do is right? What about David? Over in 2 Samuel, when he is first the child he conceived with Bathsheba in sin, it says in 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 15, and the Lord struck the baby that Uriah's wife had born to David, and he became ill. And David pleaded with God for the boy. He fasted and he went home and he spent the night laying on the ground. And it goes on to say in 2 Samuel 12, verse 20, then David got up from the ground. He washed himself. He anointed himself. He changed his clothes. He went to the Lord's house and he worshiped. And he went home and he requested something to eat. And that's when he said, there's no reason for me to mourn him because I can't bring him back to me, but I can go to him. You see, it was not based, those men did not worship based on the roller coaster of life's emotion, but they worshiped God based upon His unchanging characteristics and His true and never-ending promises that He had made to them. You see, when we learn to worship God because He is God, not because of what He does for us, Because it really and truly, He's done more for us than we even deserve. He's already given us more than I've ever even asked for, much less imagined that I could have. But when we worship Him because He does do all things well, when we worship Him because He's the only one that's worthy of being worshipped, you see, we have settled in our hearts that whether I feel like it or not, He's still worthy of worship and praise. You remember over in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15, it says, therefore by Him let us continually offer up the sacrifices of praise to God. You know, it's a sacrifice to praise God when you don't feel like it. When your body says, don't. When your heart is broken. When everything in you says it's what's going on around me is not right, but I've placed my hands into a living God who loves me more than I can imagine. That's a sacrifice. That's when you're saying, Lord, I'm giving it to You in spite of what it's costing me. And then the last thing, as we look to 2023 being a year of true worship, we must worship in submissiveness. We must worship with separated lives. We must worship with sacrifice. We must worship with a set heart. But that type of worship will bring supernatural blessings. You know that? Will bring supernatural blessings. And see, I don't know how this happens, but I know it's the truth. Notice it says, but the hour is coming. In John chapter 4, verse 23 and following, it says, but the hour is coming and is now when the true worship will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 and following, it says, but God, who is rich in mercy because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And listen, He has raised us up together and made us sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show His exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness. Toward who? Toward us in Christ Jesus. Now, if you look right there, now remember, the whole idea behind worship is not about me getting tingly. It's not about me leaving here feeling better than what I did to come in. It's about me focusing all my attention, admiration, and respect on God and lifting Him up above anything and everything. It's about me focusing all that I can give and give it to Him. But listen what happened. He went up there. Abraham went up there ready to give all he had. He focused all that he had on God. He was ready to give it to Him. But what happened when he came back down? First, the Lord said, hey, I'm pleased with your worship, buddy. I'm pleased with the way you come to me. And you know what? I'm just going to reinstate what I've already promised you. I'm going to bless you like I ain't never blessed nobody. And through you, I'm going to bless those around you. And I'm going to bless the whole entire world. You see what happened there? A thing that began with a man just doing his best trying to make God number one in his worship. What happened? That man was overly blessed, pressed down, shaken together. All that God had, the blessings of God, the mercy and the favor of God was poured out on Abraham. And then because of the worship experience, the favor was poured out on Abraham. And that favor poured out from Abraham on all those around him. And even on us today. Isn't that amazing? And that's what happens when we learn how to worship. We walk away with more than we give. You know that? We go in there and he thought he was going to lose a son, but he walked away with more faith. Hey, you reckon what his face looked like compared to when he went up and then when he come back down? That's not why he was going up there. He wasn't planning. I don't think he was planning on coming back down just being woo hoopy doo hoo, all that coming back down. No, that's not what it was about. But that's what he received. And you know what? What will happen if we get to being serious about our worship? We'll have those emotional experiences. You know why? Because the Spirit of a living God will rise up within us and it becomes stronger than the old aches and pains and the down and outs and the sour-faced attitudes that we have. And we'll walk away blessed beyond measure. And we'll be a blessing to those around us. And then we'll be a reason for others to worship God. He'll use us. And people will be able to say, thank you for putting Brother John and Sister Lexi in my life. God, they're a gift that you've given me, and I want to make much of you for allowing them into my life. Or my Sunday school teacher or whatever. And so as our song director and our piano player comes this morning, I want to ask you, what type of worship experience are you expecting in 2023? Do you want it the same old, same old? Are you going to sing the same old songs because there's the ones that you like? Or are you going to sing the songs that declare what's in your heart? It might be written back in the 1600s. But if it declares what God means to you, you sing it loud, you sing it proud. What about your service in the church and outside the church? Is it because that's just what you're expected to do? Or are you going to do it because, God, you're number one in my life and I'm going to serve in submission? I'm going to let my submission be a part of my worship. But then here's the greatest thing today. He told the woman at the well, he said, listen, you don't even know what you're worshiping. And the thing is that there's many people today trying to worship God, but yet they don't know God. The only way that you can worship God is in the name of His precious Son, Jesus Christ. The only way that He'll receive your praise is through the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. And the only way that you can worship Him wherever you at, is if today you've surrendered to the authority and the lordship of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And if you've never accepted Him as your Lord and Savior, I want to tell you this. It's again the old saying, you can't outgive God. Yes, you'll submit to Him. In your heart, you'll declare that He is God and you are not, and that you're a sinner and you've broken His rules and that you deserve punishment, but that He died for it. But you know what? You'll get more than you could ever imagine. So today, how are you going to start? Maybe you've already started worshiping right in 2023. I don't know. But you know what? When we have altar call, it just ain't about confessing sins. It's about coming down here and making Him sinner. That's why you get on your knees. That's why you bow your head so you don't see the person to the left, to the right of you. That's why you put your head down and close your eyes. Why? Because in your hearts, in your spirit's mind, you focus on Him. And you lift Him up. Maybe that's what we need today, is that the men and women of Thomasville just come down to the altar and say, blessed be the name of the Lord. I don't care what the person to the left of me or to the right of me is doing. I came here to worship You. Whatever your need is, let's stand and go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, I thank You for this day. I thank You for Your mercy, Your grace, and Your love. And I ask You right now, Holy Spirit, to breathe in this place. You're here. I know You're here. I felt Your presence, and I thank You for that. And people's already moving to the altar. And Lord, whatever the need is, You're big enough to handle that need. So together with my brothers and sisters, I declare, blessed be the name of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. What are we singing, bro? All right. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray for my brother today. God, I just pray You give him a heart of worship. Lord, for my precious sisters today, God, I thank You for their willingness to come and to bow down before You. Lord, to lift up their hearts, Heavenly Father, Lord, and to worship You in spirit and in truth. And God, that our hearts here at Thomas Village today be all about praising Jesus and making much of You. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Maybe you'd like somebody to pray with you today. Go through what the Scripture says about salvation. Whatever it is, we'll do our best to try to help you. All right. Thank you for being so attentive this morning. I pray that you've been blessed. I pray you've been challenged. But I also pray that you've been encouraged as we head into the new year. Come back tonight. We're going to look at, I believe, as of right now, we're going to be looking at the names of God. Because as we go into 2023, there's a lot of stuff that seems to be up in the air, and we're facing things that we've never faced, our country's never faced, our globe has never faced, but praise God, there's a name. He has a name that covers anything we'll ever face. Amen. Do we have any words of praise or testimony before we close out this morning? All right, let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I praise You and I thank You for this day. I thank You, God, that You are in control. And Heavenly Father, Lord, You do all things well. Forgive me for where I fail You, Lord, my inadequacies and my weakness of faith. But Lord, I pray today that You be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen.